Please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. These tremendous words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And our subject this morning is grace and salvation. Grace and salvation. Well, these, no doubt, are very familiar words to many of us gathered here this morning. The words of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians. Ephesus was a very important city in a part of the world that was known as Western Asia Minor. Now it's modern-day Turkey. But the Apostle Paul, after, of course, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, like all the other apostles, had travelled far and wide preaching the gospel. And he had preached in this place called Ephesus, and he had established a church there. It was in many ways a centre of evangelism for the New Testament church. But Paul has since moved on, obviously, to preach the gospel to other places. But he writes to the church at Ephesus and speaks to them of wonderful things. Now, of course, the apostles, when they preached, principally they preached the way of salvation, how we shall be saved, what we must do to be saved. And this verse 8, well, it has been used countless times by countless people to teach people about the way of salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gospel is very much included here. It is so succinct, it is so clear, and it's a glorious thing to consider, even for believers. It is a great joy and a great privilege to come and to hear these things and to remind ourselves of how we as believers have been saved by grace through faith, not by works, of course, although that won't be our main subject, not through anything we can do, but through faith. And that ought to give us great joy and cause us to rejoice in our hearts whenever we hear these things, even for believers. And the Apostle Paul, of course, is writing to believers, to the church at Ephesus. But also it's a good way to examine ourselves. If we are professors of faith, if we confess and tell everyone around us that we are Christians, that we are saved, well, are we saved according to how this verse describes it? Are we saved in this way? Are we saved by grace? Are we saved through faith? Has it truly been a gift of God to us? As we hear these things, we examine ourselves. Yes, I say that I'm saved, but am I truly saved according to the Bible, according to how the Apostle Paul describes it? And we'll consider these things, God willing, this morning as we look at this verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Well, let's start with those words, by grace. Grace. What is grace? Well, when we think of God's grace, we think of God giving us that which we do not deserve. That's what God's grace is. He bestows upon us favor, blessings, salvation that we do not deserve. We've done nothing to earn it. Unmerited favor. That is the grace of God, very simply. And that is the opposite to what many people may think about the Christian religion. There is a great misconception. Many people think that God just deals with good people, people who are by nature good. Many people, I fear, think of the Christian faith, well, in a Father Christmas mentality, I like to put it. We all know about Father Christmas and Santa Claus. And many people think about the Christian religion in that way. Father Christmas, of course, many of you are aware of this. When we think of Santa Claus and so forth, if he comes on Christmas Eve, so the story goes, well, he will give his presents, his gifts, but only to those good boys and girls, only to those who have been good throughout the year. That's what parents teach their children. Oh, Santa will only come if you've been a good boy or a good girl. If you've been naughty, well, you won't get a gift from Father Christmas. You won't get a gift from Santa Claus. That's the idea that is set forth. And that's what so many people think about the Christian religion, that God will only reward those who are good, those who deserve to be liked. That's who God will put his favor on. But when we think about grace, it's not that at all. Grace suggests the exact opposite. We remember, and many of you will know this, when Christ came on earth, well, who did he mix with? He mixed with those who were considered immoral people, who were considered sinners. And the Pharisees, they said to the disciples of Christ, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Why is he doing that? He should be eating and drinking with us. We're the religious people. We're the good people. God likes good people, so he should be eating and drinking with us. If he's a man of God, he should be with us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what he said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I have not come, said the Lord Jesus Christ, to save those who call themselves righteous, but to save those who know they are sinners. To save those who know that they do not deserve the favor of God. That's who Christ has come to seek and to save. And this is a wonderful thing. Don't think of it as a Father Christmas or Santa Claus type of way. Think of it as God's grace, undeserved, unmerited favor. Grace, of course, well, it speaks of the love of God. Grace speaks of the love of God. You think of the love of a parent toward a child. Well, a child can very often be naughty. A child can very often be disobedient to parents over many years even. A child can be very rebellious. But if that child falls ill or is injured or is sick, well, that parent will always come to the aid of the child. That parent will always come to the aid. Doesn't matter if the child has deserved it or not, or being good or not, it's the love of the parent that overrules and will tend to the child. And it's the same with God. We are undeserving sinners. We don't deserve his favor or his help from on high, but it's the love of God that overrules. We are sick, and God comes to our aid with Christ. He sends his Son to come to our rescue. So grace speaks of the love of God as well as the undeserved and unmerited favor of God. By grace are ye saved, says the Apostle Paul, and these things are tremendous. By grace are ye saved. Well, do we know what it is to be saved? If we just go through each and every word and think about these things, because there are many people I've observed who don't really know what it is to be saved, what the meaning of that word is, to be saved. Many people seem to have different meanings for that. I know some Christians think that when we're saved from a difficult life, from having hardship in this life. That's what they believe. They believe that if they become Christians, well, all my difficulties will pass away. I'll have a very easy life. I just become a Christian, I go to church, I'll have a very easy life. Everything will always go my way. But dear friends, that's not the Christian life. That's not the true Christian life. Perhaps some people have invented it that way to make it look more attractive. But that's not the true Christian life. You take the life of the Apostle Paul, for example. His life was not an easy life. Of course not. He endured many things. We spoke about this in our evening service last Lord's Day. The Apostle Paul, well, he suffered arrest because he was a Christian. He was beaten with rods because he was a Christian. He suffered hunger and thirst and exhaustion. He was shipwrecked, all because he was a Christian. He was persecuted like all the other apostles. He didn't live an easy life. You think of the life of Christ. Consider Christ himself, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, equal with the Father. What sort of life did he have? Well, he was homeless. He had no home. Remember what he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Christ didn't have an easy life. He was betrayed by one of his own, one who had masqueraded as one of his friends. He was sentenced to death in a sham trial when witnesses got up and lied against him. Dear friends, Christ, the eternal Son of God, his life on earth was no easy life. So we come back to this question, what exactly are we saved from? Well, most would say, and this is correct, we're saved from sin. That's what we're saved from when we come to Christ. We're saved from sin in a personal way in this life. A Christian, when they trust in God, well, they cease from sin. They depart from sin. They don't remain sinners. They leave their sin. They repent because they know something far better than sin, far better than the pleasures of this world. They know the grace of God. They know the love of God set upon them, that undeserved favor. They know that God has loved them even when they didn't deserve it. And out of gratitude to God, out of thankfulness, they leave all their sin behind. They turn their backs upon it. God has loved me even when I was an undeserving sinner. And so they repent. But ultimately, when we say we are saved, we're talking about we are saved from the punishment for sin. The punishment for sin. We all have to stand before God one day. We all have to give an account of our lives, and we have all sinned. That's what the scripture says and testifies very clearly. And God must punish sin and will punish sin unless we are saved. Unless we are saved. That's what we're saved from, the punishment of God or the wrath of God. That's what we are saved from. That's the correct understanding. Now, some people ask, why does God have to get angry over sin? Why does God get angry over sin? Many people don't like the idea of an angry God. Many preachers have stopped preaching about the wrath of God because they believe it puts people off. Don't speak about God and the wrath of God. They'll think that God is just angry and vengeful, and we don't want people to have that idea. Stop speaking in those terms. But dear friends, it's because people don't really understand the wrath of God or the anger of God. When God punishes sin, it's not for the sake of being angry or being violent. It's for the sake of his justice. It's for the sake of his righteousness. If I can put it to you another way, you think of a judge in a court of law when he convicts a criminal, a murderer, for example. When he convicts a criminal, when he passes a sentence, life imprisonment, or perhaps even the death sentence, as used to be the case, when he passes that sentence, it's not for the sake of being angry. It's not for the sake of being vengeful. It's for the sake of justice. It's for the sake of upholding the law. The law has to be upheld, therefore he will pass that sentence. A criminal has broken the law, so he must feel the full force of the law, however fierce it must be. And that's an accurate understanding of the wrath of God. Not for the sake of being angry, but for the upholding of God's holy and just law. That is how we understand it. That is, of course, what the Lord Jesus Christ bore on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, he bore the full force of the law, the wrath of God upon himself, not for his own sins, of course not, but for the sins of his people, all those who would put their trust and their faith in him. He suffered and died in their place. He saved them from the wrath of God by taking it upon himself. He saved us in that sense. We do not have to face the wrath of God because he took it upon his own soul. That was his suffering on the cross. That unseen, eternal punishment upon his soul. Not the nails through the hands, not the crown of thorns, not the physical agony on the cross, although that was exceedingly bad, but it was that eternal unseen agony upon his soul as he saved us from the wrath of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are saved by grace, but the Apostle Paul also adds, through faith. Faith in God. Do you have faith? Again, there's a misconception about faith. Some people misunderstand faith. Faith is not simply believing in God. It's not simply believing that God exists. James, in his epistle, in the New Testament, he said that even the devils believe and tremble. They believe in God, but they're not saved. So when we speak about faith, we don't speak simply about believing that God exists. Faith is about trust. Trust in Christ. We spoke about trust not so long ago, and one of the illustrations I gave, well, it's not a very good illustration, but you think of getting on a bus. So many of us do that. We get on a bus. Well, we get on a bus. We know the bus exists. We know that it is a bus. We can recognize it as such. But you don't get on it if you don't trust that it will take you to your destination. You only get on it because you know it will take you. You trust it will take you to work or to school or to a church. That's how you get on the bus, through trust. But well, so many, they believe in God. So many, they believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died at the cross, but they don't trust in it. They don't trust that through that death, I am saved. I do not have to face the wrath of God because Christ died in my place. Therefore, I am saved. You must trust. Christ is the only way that you will get to heaven, not through any other way, because Christ is the only one who has taken that punishment upon himself. We must have faith, trust in Christ. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Well, dear friends, I must begin to draw to conclusion, but just a few comments on that last part of the verse, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The faith that saves us, the faith that saves every Christian, does not even come from you. It didn't come from you. It was the gift of God. No Christian is a Christian because he was born spiritual or because he was born with faith. Faith never came from them. Faith came from God. Before we were Christians, we were in spiritual darkness. We were spiritually dead. But faith was given to us by God. It is the gift of God. A gift is always free. You don't have to pay for a gift. If you pay for a gift, it's no longer a gift. A gift is always free. By God's grace, he has given these things to us. And this is what he has sent in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a gift that you need. This gift, well, isn't it horrible when somebody gives you a gift and you already have it? Sometimes that happens a lot. At Christmas, you get the same gift twice, or you already have it. But this gift, well, you need this one. You don't have it without God giving it to you. God is the only one who can give you salvation, the only one who can give you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask any Christian, you ask me perhaps, how do I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? As if I can give it to you. I can't give it to you. Every Christian should always point you to God. You have to go to God. You have to ask him. Ask God for faith. Lord, I need salvation. Lord, I need faith in Christ. Lord, I don't want to stand before God, a God of wrath, as an unsaved man or woman, because I know I won't be able to bear that for eternity. I want to be saved. I want to trust in Christ. Give me that faith so that I know I will be safe on that day. I know that I will be saved. You ask God, because it's only God that can give it to you. Well, these things are so important, technical in some ways, but so very important. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. May the Lord bless these words to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Father in heaven, O Lord, how we thank thee for these words of life. How we thank thee that the way of salvation is so clearly spelt out to us so that we are without excuse on that last day. Lord, may it be said of each and every one of us that we have true saving faith, not simply belief in God, belief that he exists, but that we trust in Christ, that he has suffered and died, taken upon himself the wrath of God, that we may be saved. O Lord, save each and every one of us, and forgive us afresh all our sin. We ask it all in our Saviour's name, and for his sake. Amen.